Now, coming to you from a Midwestern hole in the United States,
the Dollcast. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Roth.
Hey, you freaks, this is Roth, back after a weekend, the first weekend. All right, get your game faces on. It's time for the Dollcast. Yeah, I had a crazy weekend. Not really, but it's always crazy when it's not normal. We ended up not having band practice Saturday because our guitar player couldn't make it for, you know, whatever reasons. Had family business to tend to or something. So I just decided to hang out at the drummer's house for a while and went ahead and took Liam with me so he could come hang out. You know, he's two now, and he's not really talking yet. He'll say, like, dada, or sometimes daddy, you know, and that's about it. And, you know, I was thinking back to when we first started raising Jeremiah, you know, he's born, we're just, like, taking him everywhere. You know, because we're always on the move, especially with band stuff and always going places and meeting people, all kinds of stuff. And we always took Jeremiah, and he got to socialize with everybody and all that, you know. But now, I mean, that was like, what, almost 10 years ago? And, yeah, Jeremiah's 10, so it's been like 10 years ago. And my social life is way different now. Extremely different. So it's a little harder to get out there and get Liam around a lot of people so he can interact and, you know, see how more people than just us behave and everything. And it's a pain in the butt, but you do what you can. But yeah, I went over there and indulged in some beverages. I believe a PBR a day keeps the mundane away. But, yeah, so that was basically all I did this weekend. I did work on a little bit of dev stuff, though. Actually, let me start with the dev stuff. Go back to, was it Friday or Saturday? Okay, Friday. I still couldn't figure it out. So I had spent a couple of days at this point. You know, it got to Saturday. I'd spent like 3 days messing with this Sprite Zero hit. And I couldn't get it at all. And it was one of these things where if I had, you know, longer hair on my head, I probably would have grabbed a hold of it and just yanked. Get out of there. Ugh. Just so frustrating. And I get really, really pissed at myself when it's, you know, something won't sink in. So, I don't know, I couldn't get it, and then finally I got a hold of a couple people on AIM, and one of them figured it out, what was going on. He checked out the code and everything. He's like, oh, well, you gotta do this here and that here, and, you know, he's one of these evil genius types that you're just like, I wish you weren't an evil genius and I was. But, yeah, he's a really cool dude. I'm not going to give his name out, though, because I know he doesn't want to be bothered by lots of people. But I always feel really shitty when I actually have to bug people about this stuff. Because I remember when I was first getting started, there was one guy that was a big help to me. And every time I would message him on AIM, man, I just felt horrible because I was like, man, I'm sitting here bugging this guy and... It's not like it doesn't seem like he's losing patience, but, you know, you can't actually see them. So you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, God, I need to quit messaging people, you know. But, yeah. So, anyway, so the Sprite Zero hit thing works now, and the screen actually scrolls. And, with the status bar thing at the top. And what I didn't understand was, you know, you have to write to the PPU, address 2000, you know, for those of you that know what I'm talking about here. But you got to write to the PPU which name table has a status bar first, and then second, you have to write to the whichever name table is on screen at the time. It's a little confusing to me still, but I think I understand it. I'll see how it goes in later games when I try doing something similar. But yeah, so that works now. And now, the next thing I need to do is work on the map collision. So I got all the sprites pulled in now. I have them popping up on screen where they're supposed to. And what I need to do now is the map collision. And there's this kind of addressing mode on the 6502 called indexed, indirect, or something like that. And it's where you can take a table of addresses that are stored in zero page and I guess access something that an address in ROM that way. And I was trying to use that, but then I needed to also have an offset on it. And I tried a couple of different things where I add to something, and you know, and then I tried the regular indirect thing with the Y. I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about right now, but I can't explain it properly because I don't know the correct terminology for this stuff. But anyway, I've been having problems trying to figure out how I want to do the collision, and I think it's boiled down to I'm going to have to do pointer to pointer to pointer, because right now I have it just to get the map data on screen. I have like a pointer to pointer where it's like point to these tables, and then you know, depending on what round it is, it points to these, and then I set those in zero page and read from each of them. But oh my lord, so I think I have to do another pointer, like another pointer deep, to get this collision thing to read, because what I have to do is grab what tile I am on from my XY position and then determine if I can move on it or not, if I can move to the next one or not, you know. So it's being a pain in the butt, but I think I think I'll get it worked out. I'm gonna try it a little bit more tonight before I crash out. What else? Well, I made up a little bit of a list here of what I really have left to do on the game, but it's not a definitive list, but it's some of the bigger things. For each map, I need the starting points and the goal, you know, like the coordinates of each of those I need to store somewhere in ROM. There's a timer, and you get more time at the end of each map. I gotta finish making all the maps, which means a bunch of data entry. That's going to be a pain in the butt. Let's see, background hit detection and the controls together. That's kind of going hand in hand. The animation, the player animation, that is. I got to make sure to get the proper loops in place for the main part of the game. And the things that happen when you die or when you win. That's pretty much all there is left to do. But, you know, it's a lot of stuff, especially with that data entry. Oh, man. That's just gonna suck. Real bad. But that's about it in dev news. Let's go ahead and plug NintendoAge.com, because if you collect games or you're a gamer and you like to just meet other people of that sort and hang out, You can trade games on the forum at NintendoAge.com. Membership is free. Don't worry about having to pay for anything. Membership's free. And they have a collection tool which lets you manage collections of your games for Nintendo and Sega consoles. My lord. They just got their stuff together over there. The admins are absolutely great. And join up over there, NintendoAge.com. Tell them Roth sent you. All right. I think we're going to do some memory lane today. I have a little something I wanted to talk about. A little bit different from the other memory lanes. So let's go ahead. Hit it.
Random Access Memory Lane.
Okay. Now, really big fan of video games, right? Growing up, real big fan. And of course, all my friends were, just about. And one friend in particular, Sean, he came up with this idea where he would actually make board games out of certain video games, or make up a game, you know. And he coined these as home games. And so eventually I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. So I started making some, and then sometimes we would collaborate on some. And, you know, home games. It was great fun. But some of the things that entailed these were just crazy. Because it wouldn't just be, you know, like your classic board game, Candyland, or Chutes and Ladders, where, you know, you're just moving spaces. No. There was extra stuff included in this. Like, taking apart a pin and getting the spring out of it, and then maybe putting half the pin together, and then finding a way to make like actual firing weapons. And so, like, different ways. Sean was really good at coming up with different spring-loaded weapons, and so you would use these like in the game to try and knock down enemies and stuff. It was really creative. And the spring-loaded weapons were used on a lot of home games. But there was other stuff too. Like, for instance, I remember Sean was making a Castlevania one. And he used battery people. Like, actually, like, used batteries and then used construction paper wrapped around batteries. And, like, made Frankensteins and Draculas and, you know, of course, Simon Belmont. But then he would have a whip, an actual, like, a rubber band. And some of them were thicker, some of them were thinner, some of them were different colored. You know, it depended on which whip you got at that time. And, you pull that back and you try and knock over the bad guy characters that were battery, you know. And, like, the bosses were bigger batteries, so they were harder to knock over. Yeah, there's some really, really creative stuff. We were collaborating on actually a Roston home game. He was making a bunch of the background, like the actual boards. And these boards are always in 3D. And with Roston, we were using muscles. You remember those little pink muscle men? Well, we were using those characters. And, like, we had an Ashtar. No, wait, that was for the Ninja Gaiden. I'm talking about Roston. We did that for Ninja Gaiden too, now that I think about it. I remember Ashtar was a little muscle man, but he was an actual pink one, not peach color. But yeah, there is lots of really, really good stuff. Our biggest one that we actually worked on together, he had started it, and then we got together and, like, bettered it together. We worked on Metal Gear, and it was this huge, huge slab of cardboard. And, I mean, we got so trying to make it, like, realistic looking, to where we had, like, sand, actual sand from outside. We'd have it, like, for the desert, you know, here's sand. I remember he took some screen from your screen door. He took some screen and used that as like fencing, you know, and had it like lined up and standing up. I remember doing a really cheesy thing for that. I took those muscle men came in packs of 10. Like one of like the packs of 10 came in a canister, and I remember filling that with water and then putting an item down at the bottom, and your guy couldn't retrieve it unless he had the oxygen tank. I guess we had to have real water, right? You know, it's just ridiculous. But we used guts. Remember those little toys called guts? They were like army men, and they had like different ones, like Green Berets, SEALs, all kinds of different ones. I can't think of them all, but the ones with the Green Berets like worked out great for some Metal Gear bosses, because there was like a guy with an Uzi who was perfect for Machine Gun Kid. There was a guy with a grenade, but we used it like we acted like he was holding a boomerang for Coward Duck, you know. And there's some others. The swimming guys, there's two of them that stood up straight up, and they looked like those Arnold guys a little bit, so we used those for Arnold. But yeah, that was a really big game. It eventually ended up getting thrown out years later, unfortunately. There was a lot of different home games, though. It's really, really crazy. I remember there was actually one where Sean was making a Dick Tracy home game, and he had some part where there was a train, and I don't remember how it worked. Like, somehow the train would move certain spaces, and you had, once you got up to the train, you actually had to punch it off the tracks. But I remember the train and everything looked really good. The train yard had some tracks and all that. Really, really good designs. I remember when I was at Mead Park, I had a really, what was it? A project for Valley Forge. I was in fifth grade. Had to make a model of like Valley Forge. So I went ahead and made it, and eventually I was like, man, this could be transformed into something, and I ended up making a Commando home game. And it wasn't all that great, but I remember making a Commando home game out of that, and then eventually somehow Sean ended up with that game, and he added different stuff to it. And I don't even remember why we traded that, or how he ended up with it, or what. I don't know. But one of the things, we were always really into making different ways of the characters, like how they looked, like the battery people for Castlevania. Sean had made some game where people were all, like, actually on stands, and I remember I came up with the triangle character, you know, where it's like the pieces were shaped like a triangle, the bottom was shorter than the other two sides, and then you could draw front and back on them, you know. But whatever, home games, that was good fun. Good fun. Yeah. Alright, end the segment. Alright, well, that's about all I have for you today. I'll go downstairs, get cracking on trying to do this pointer to pointer to pointer. And that'll be about it. I'll talk to you people tomorrow, and if you catch me slipping, tell Kevin.